When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, you beautiful people. How nice it is to see you again. The title race is back on and Burnley and Watford get big wins down the bottom. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Monday, 21st of February. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Pete.
The sun is shining. The clouds have lifted. We're on to a new storm. Storm Franklin, I hear, Jim.
Oh, really? There's another storm coming.
We're on from Eunice.
Right. Franklin always reminds me of the puppet out of Arrested Development.
Oh, yeah.
That Job has. And if you know the show, it's a very amusing reference. Don't worry about it, guys.
It's very good.
That's how you always manage to crack me up. Franklin always reminds me of a president.
Yes. Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah, well, guys, the point is we don't have time for any of the pleasantries. I don't give a shit how your weekend was, Pete. Yeah.
Done the weather report.
We've done the weather report,
that's
true.
We did that right at the beginning.
We should go to the traffic and travel at the end of the...
We haven't got time for that today. Don't bother with traffic.
Yeah, I hope it was all right, Pete, frankly, but you can drop it. If you really want to tell me about your weekend, you can drop it in...
Later on.
Later on. Or in the break.
Okay,
I'll
drop it in later on. Don't you worry.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll tell you about my neighbour's wall I helped rebuild. Go on.
Okay, we need to move on.
Sounds like you knocked it down in the first place, but we will come back onto that.
With your tank. We need to get on to a big win for Tottenham Hotspur, everybody. But, you know, that's not the real story, is it? The real story is not Harry Kane scoring the winner in the 90-plus fifth minute. The story for everybody else is how Spurs have saved the Premier League and the title race.
Is that the story, is it?
Yeah.
Well,
magnanimously.
They've got to be given something, haven't they? So at least they've made themselves useful there. And they're not going to do anything with those points, so they might as well stop Man City having them, I suppose. Yeah. But genuinely, it looks back
on, A generous side.
Yes, absolutely.
You just want the best for the future of football and the European Super League.
They're moulded in the manager's image, shall we say. It suddenly looks like, oh, hang on. Like, if Liverpool win their game in hand, which they probably will because they're Liverpool, and then beat City at City... It might be on. I'd forgotten that it was even possible that it might be on.
Jim. This isn't the interesting part of the league. This isn't the interesting part of the league.
The top end of it.
The top end of it isn't the interesting part.
We've got a whole half devoted to the interesting part of the league, which is the next part.
Definitely. Although, actually, I would argue that, you know, people always talk about the business end being the business end of the season and the best part. But this bit is underrated as well because everything is still in play.
Yes.
You can look at any single game this weekend and argue that it deserves a place in the running order, and obviously we can't get to every game. And if we haven't spoken about your team, that
just
it is personal.
A conspiracy.
You knob.
It
is genuinely quite exciting to think we might actually have a title race appearing. So thanks, Spurs. Well done.
Now go away.
Yeah,
and never bother us.
Exactly.
With your tepid form of football that you've been giving us all season.
Well, but this is true. I mean, because I don't believe that you should look at the table until like after Christmas, at least.
Yeah.
So actually, have only just been really enjoying the fact of the ins and outs. We'll get to a bit more. But look, guys, this was a fucking good game. Like, all jokes aside, right? Like, it kind of had everything. And I mean, look, I will use you guys can check me if I'm just being too, like, over-enthusiastic and whatever about the performance. But I just think that watching Harry Kane play like that is just a beautiful sight to see. It was a kind of world-class performance from a player at the apparently very, back to the top of his game.
Very motivated to play in that stadium.
Very motivated.
but he's been turning a few pretty decent performances over the past few weeks. I think it's the rest of the club that kind of lets him down frequently. But like, strikers don't generally get the option anymore to move backwards into midfield, do they?
Yeah.
But when you see him pull off passes like that, you sort of go, that's a bit of a shame, really, because he could like spend the rest of his 30s just kind of like Rooneying it up in the kind of in midfield but. Strikers don't get to do that these days. They just dry up with their goals and then they just get binned off. But my goodness, what a pass from him for Son's pass, so to speak. Yeah, Ruben Dias like breaking his own offside trap. He's like, oh! It really is a game of like minute decisions.
Yeah.
Just one step to the right and Son's off. It was so good. Such a good, quick bit of play from Kane. It was fantastic.
For the third goal for Spurs winner, I was really surprised to see Man City switch off like that.
Oh, yeah. Because
they are such a sort of machine,
well,
aren't they? Yeah, they're so like clinical and almost robotic in the way that they deal with those situations. And I don't know, it was really impressive from Spurs to keep the momentum going. You would think that actually it was only ever going to go one way. When it went back to 2-2, you would think, well, actually City might go and win this. But Spurs are all about winning it late at the moment.
But they've got, I think Spurs look at their worst when they are playing teams that defend deep, and Man City obviously have a very high, quick line, and Son can certainly exploit that. And Son looks actually quite ordinary against some sides when because he finds it hard to sort of break down teams and create play when there's players in front of him. But when he's got a bit of space to run into, good God, he's quick, isn't he?
And Kulusevski had a good game as well. Have you been impressed with him so far?
So exciting!
I think one of the conundrums with Spurs, isn't it, is obviously Kane and Son are amazing, like one of the most effective partnerships we've ever seen in the league.
The most effective,
is it,
Jim?
The most effective? In terms of goal contribution.
Yeah, equal with Didier Drogba and Frank Lampard. They're on 36.
Yeah.
So, people don't hang around, though, do they, really?
Exactly, yeah. So, it feels like if they can get that third person right in that forward line, then you really, really cook it. Like, I mean, we can see from Liverpool in the past with Mane, Firmino and Salah, like how that just becomes unstoppable if you've got three players like that. Mm. And I guess that is the ongoing kind of quest, isn't it, to find that third player? And I mean, early days obviously, but he did score. Like, Kulusevski was pretty exciting, right?
He was so exciting, and the way that they were, it felt to me like, and this is something that we haven't seen in a while, it felt like every Spurs player was reading the other player, and it's not so much even just knowing their jobs, but the way that Kulusevski was managing to get on the end of balls and to know, it felt like he certainly knew what his job was. But even talking to Vish on WhatsApp, but even like who is it? It gave away the penalty. Romero, when he died.
That was weird.
I didn't even.
In slow-mo, that was really funny.
Okay, all right. I mean, obviously, giving away a penalty in the second minute of injury time is pretty fucking annoying, but I didn't feel that annoyed. I mean, in the moment, I felt annoyed, but in retrospect, obviously we won, so it's easier to judge it in this way. But like, he was trying to be brave. I mean, it was a slightly cat-handed fall and obviously the ball struck his hand, but it did seem at least as though he was trying to take command of a difficult situation.
So you want credit for the penalty you gave away as well.
was that Mara's penalty better taken than Neymar's at the weekend?
Just
a little bit.
It was good. I like how it's, I really like those ones when they soar up into the back of the net.
Oh, it's so hard to do.
It feels a bit dangerous as well.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. High risk, high reward. And it feels like, well, you got to be confident to do that.
It's what Baggio was trying to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Oh,
at the end, I can't remember who was commentating, but he shouted, "Sometimes football really is stranger than fiction." I think commentators should have to do post-matches.
Yeah.
I go, what the fuck did he mean by that? That is demented sort of talk.
Read Finnegan's Wake, you idiot. Like, it's the most predictable thing you could possibly write. Oh, a team comes back late on.
Three times.
Wow. Who ever could have seen it coming?
guys, again, check me on this. Like, definitely, it felt as though Kane was just too good for City's back line on the night. But were they surprisingly sloppy as well, do you think, Pete? City's performance on the back. In the
I think it was just kind of just little decisions here and there that just went against them. I suppose, as I said, if Diaz was one step behind,
he wouldn't have been nutmegged for the opener.
He wouldn't have been offside.
You don't say that often, do you? Et cetera, et cetera. You know what? One of the things that really makes me think that Liverpool might be on the charge now is how quietly confident Jamie Carragher is. He's having the time of his life, isn't he, watching all this unfold. And it's joyous.
I get the feeling that it'll only take one Liverpool slip up at 1-1 against a Burnley or something to sort of go, ah, it's back on again, Man City, you're going to win it.
Yeah.
Look, the key point, of course, is that even still, whatever happens from here, this is a title race now. And it really didn't feel like that before because it's now down to 6 points. Liverpool, as you said, Jim, have a game in hand and they're going to meet the Etihad at the start of April. You couldn't call it, could you? All right. I don't feel like I've had enough fun, but...
Got to move on. It's a busy week.
It's a busy week. We've got to move on. I suppose that the end point I would say is I feel like it was no accident that Conte was very much emphasising that this is a win that should give us confidence, talking about Spurs at the end, because this is the question has been, have they got enough confidence? Are they working together as a team? And he even said, this is the best group of players in my career. A good person... is better than a good player, Pete. That's a sentiment we could all get behind.
Hang on, a good person is better than a good player. Right, yeah. But you want both, though, if you're in football,
yeah,
isn't it?
It's kind of a backhanded compliment in a way, isn't it?
What, A plus for effort, B for attainment?
Yeah, it's a strange one. But, you know, it's weird from Conte, isn't it? You don't expect him to be so positive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Good stuff. I hope it all blows up in your faces.
Okay, lovely. elsewhere in Conte team land, Chelsea didn't look so impressive, but they did get a win in their 1-0 against Crystal Palace. But as we know, they are the best team in the world. They unfortunately, according to Thomas Tuchel, are suffering with coals.
Is there some sort of Victorian disease that has been forgotten?
Yeah. No, like farmers are out shooting them. Coals.
No, they're having to like snack on coals just to like,
connect
with the roots of... with colds caused by the air conditioning on the flight back from the club.
That is annoying.
Long flight.
Yeah, what? You get back, you think, oh, am I ill?
Is it caused by cold? Because I thought that with the recent COVID outbreak, we've been told that air conditioning on planes is the safest place to be because of how aggressive it is, taking stuff out of the air, cleaning it, and then putting it back into the vestibule.
Yeah, I think it's probably that only Ryanair were flying to Qatar or wherever it was.
I just think it just sounds a bit like your mum's advice, don't go out all wet hair kind of nonsense, doesn't it? It just sounds a bit weird.
That's
like
not
that.
Nonsense.
It is nonsense.
What are you on about? That's not nonsense.
Why would wet hair give you a cold?
Yeah, well, it might not give you a cold, but you definitely should go out with wet
hair when it's wet.
But because it makes you colder. Because going out with wet anything, if you went out with a wet left arm, but you're not likely to have a very wet arm. You're more likely to
How wet is your arm?
Concentration of hair.
Science correspondents, get in touch. Yeah. I think that's not true. I think it's an old debunked tale, but I don't know that. So let us know.
Yeah, I do feel sorry for footballers because they're not allowed to take Sudafed, are they? So that's the only thing that gets me through a cold. Pseudoephedrine. Donald Trump levels of pseudoephedrine.
Really? directly into the lungs.
This isn't how it's supposed to work.
Let's get to another game, shall we? Yeah. Leeds beaten by Manchester
God,
United.
Speaking of wet hair.
4-2, fucking hell. I mean, it is enjoyable, because obviously they do all these massive, with a game like this, it's so storied and historical, they do all these montages. And you watch it and the pitch looks... I mean, like just mud, and everyone's sort of every time they get there's a tackle, they get like mud all down them, and it's just flying
it's
everywhere,
epic, wasn't it?
And even still, so this is in the montages, and then of course you cut to the Premier League game from today, and the pitch looks beautiful.
Yeah,
it's still happening.
It was mad, wasn't it?
It was beautiful.
It was great. I loved
slide tackles in. And just like mud spraying up into people's faces.
Totally. Yeah. And not just the rain, but the wind as well, which obviously like assisted Rodrigo's goal quite massively, shall we say. It was perfect. The weather getting an assist.
Was that the wind though? Or was it just, he just overcooked his cross a little bit.
Definitely an overcooked cross, but I'm sure the wind played a part.
It had so much pace on it anyway, I think, Rodrigo. I was really happy to see him score because he wants to be in that Spain squad and he is a bit of a funny shaped player in a player-shaped hole in the Leeds team. Basically, he doesn't fit in with the system, and I don't think he's going to get his place for Spain if he keeps playing like he has been playing. But I'm happy to see him score because it was if he meant that, which he didn't.
No, not a chance.
It would have been great,
not a chance.
But it's not.
Yeah. Also happy to see Harry Maguire and Fred get their just desserts.
Yeah,
Pete.
Well, he was going on. Harry Maguire was going on little raiding missions, wasn't he? It was good.
Yeah. And actually, that Fred girl was pretty awesome.
It was.
Well, he snuck around the back.
But, I mean, the real kind of fun part of the game was Leeds scoring 2 goals in 3 seconds or whatever it was. That was absolutely amazing.
Yeah. I've read, well, it's down here as 24, but I thought it was more like closer to a minute, more like 55. Right. Mm. But, yeah, I don't know.
Is that including the stoppage, though?
Well, exactly. Yeah. I don't know how these things are judged. Either way, it was very bloody quick, and it did look as though we were on course for some sort of miracle
classic. Which
it was
a classic, really, wasn't it? It's certainly it's going to be remembered as probably one of the games of the season because it was just so much fun. But you always want it to, if one team goes to 3-2, you then want it to go to 3-all. It goes to 4. I know it's like the 88th minute,
but
it's like when it went to 4-2.
Yeah, the next goal you wanted it to be Leeds, didn't you? Really,
totally.
Yeah. We were absolutely cheated. What about Leeds then? I mean, look, they were singing Marcelo Bielsa's name throughout. This is no wins in 4 now. I mean, this is obviously a better result than the 5-1 loss to United on the first day of the season. They're only 1 point about Everton, who we're going to come on to in the second half, and we think are being dragged into a relegation scrap. They've obviously also had that, you know, 7-0 loss to Manchester City this season, Jim. But everybody bloody loves Bielsa and doesn't seem to mind if they're even at threat of relegation.
Yeah, I think...
because they get to watch that.
Well, yeah.
Their form is atrocious.
It is, isn't it? I mean, they're not in the best shape that we've seen them in. They've got Liverpool next as well, which is fun. And it's at Anfield, so that's good.
Their goal difference is a real outlier as well. Second worst in the league? Third best in the league?
They've conceded 50.
Yeah.
And only Burnley only Norwich City have conceded more.
But yeah. You feel like with maybe this is me sort of having too much of an outsider's view, you feel like they need to sort of weather this season and then regroup a little bit because they're so sort of infused with Bielsa's style and Bielsa's personality that he's brought them back up into the Premier League. And obviously that doesn't mean it's impossible to replace him and that if they feel he might take them down, they have to make a hard decision and do that. But you would think that actually maybe this would be a case where if they stay up, and I think they will, then you don't sack him, you don't panic, you stick with the manager, you give him a chance to arrest what's happened and regroup, recalibrate.
So before second or third bottom in the wedge table. So that's what you get. You know, he's probably taking a lot of boxes for the owners. They don't spend a lot of money. Yeah. They don't have to spend a lot of money. But Bielsa can sort of turn around and sort of say, well, this is my side, and this is, you know, they have been unlucky with injuries, but it's not like he's inherited a new side and he's having to sort of make changes himself. Like, he has bought these players and they're not performing as well. The system is key, but there's a lot of players like the one I just mentioned, like that are just in. He thinks that the system will kind of will out in every situation when players sometimes can't play in those positions. It's Rodrigo playing as like a kind of number like that kind of behind the striker sort of position. It just doesn't work for him, really. I don't think.
Yeah, okay. And Manchester United, I don't want to be like, oh, it's a turning point, blah, blah, blah. But it was exciting to see Jadon Sancho get man of the match.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's at his best when he plays for Dortmund. He played for Dortmund last night, or yesterday. Just fast, direct attacks. Not long build-up play. I think he finds that quite stodgy. But, you know, I think you've got to remember that he had no pre-season. He had COVID.
Yes,
like, It's probably not the best preparation for a campaign.
Absolutely.
So maybe this is the Jadon Sancho that they spent a lot of money on.
Also, I think, you know, we've said this a lot about Harry Kane and Marcus Rashford and various players that, you know, were at the Euros and suffered that disappointment. I mean, Sancho was one of the players who missed in the shootout. So he obviously had a lot of horrible stuff follow that. So to then move as well, there's a lot of factors that were, I think, were perhaps taken into account for other players but disregarded for Sancho, which is maybe unfair. So it makes sense that it would take him a little bit of time to get up to speed.
People underplay emotional factors
massively,
in football, partly because of the whole, like, as you always quote it, the whole, like, well, he's paid £1 billion a week, why would he be miserable? It doesn't work like that, and I definitely think that's a really, really key factor. One other thing actually that I guess in the context of the Leeds, Manchester United, hard men game that we were excited to see. That was a bit grim, I thought, was the Robin Koch not getting substituted immediately when he had that clash of heads with Scott McTominay, who, by the way, why was he still on the pitch by the end? That's another conversation, perhaps. But yeah, so he has like blood pouring out of his head, and he's, you know, it does fit the kind of grandeur of the occasion that someone should have a head bandage early doors. But like, he did not look well. And I know that there's this concussion protocol now where you can just make a substitute and you don't, you know, it doesn't have to come out of your normal bank of substitutes. But I think what people are pushing for now, maybe it's a, I can't remember which body it was, but this morning talking about, is this ability to just have a temporary substitution straight away if there's a clash of heads.
Yeah, okay.
And I felt like this game and that experience of Cox was a real argument for that.
But surely the coach, the medical team have to go through those protocols, and if they don't, they'll find themselves at the end of a Premier League censure of some sort, won't they? I mean, like, the player remained on the field, but presumably he didn't have concussion, or did they not go through the tests? How does it kind of?
It seems to be different.
I think
every
it develops.
Time,
it? I think also just the argument is that it develops over time. So he then came off at what, 31 minutes,
right? Okay.
So yeah, and he just looked like he was, you know. I was going to say drunk. Running through water, but
well, he was, wasn't he?
Yeah. But you know, running through a swimming pool again. He was, yeah. He didn't look well from a kind of back sidelines kind of perspective. But yeah, I don't know.
You say back sidelines. You're thinking about Shrevesy.
What? Pete?
Somebody posted a picture on Twitter, sent it to the Football Ramble, of Jeff Shreves looking like he's got the world's biggest bomb.
We can't be held accountable for what is
for
sent.
How sexy we are.
For what is sent into the Football Ramble.
Yeah, you're right.
But I guess we can be held accountable if we choose to talk about it. Are you trying to hide? What? I mean,
I'm not trying to hijack.
I wouldn't imagine you
would
be a body shamer, but like, so are you trying to...
What is it? Celebrate her, if anything. It's like that George Surratt picture, you know, on the banks of the, you know, little dots, you know, the impressionist George Surratt. There's a woman with a big... kind of dress that like kind of has the framing.
Yes.
And it looked like Jeffrey's bum. So maybe he's just got a bit of help back there and he's caught.
Oh, what isn't that? But like, ladies used to wear bustles back in the day, didn't they?
I think it's a bustle.
It's not body shaming. Jeffrey's bum is just art.
It's exactly, yeah.
I don't want to debunk all this, but I think it's his mic pack, Pete.
Yeah, probably. Well, how big is his mic pack?
Well,
does
I
he
just
insist
think
on using one from
the 70s?
Well, he's got some big opinions, so it probably has to be massive.
Lots of
he's probably
batteries.
Got like a little cushion in case some of the managers want to spank him or something for being naughty.
Him,
yeah, for deck him. And he'll just fall on his bum and he'll be like, "Oh, it's fine."
Ha ha ha.
Ha ha. You
ha, ha.
Can't
didn't
hurt me.
Ha.
I didn't hurt my bum.
Oh my God, I don't know how to get out of this corner that we found our way into. But so what I'm going to do is I'm going to just press the brake button, and then when we come back, we're going down to the meaty end of the table, whatever it was you called it, Pete. So aptly, see you in a minute. Mm.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Join Luke Moore and me, Pete Donaldson, for an unplanned half hour where we discuss life's great mysteries like, can a man survive by eating roadkill, as well as the week's most bizarre news stories and your ridiculous adventures, like this one about an almost catastrophic shortcut.
We eventually came to a large railed fence, which I decided we should climb. I scaled the 15-foot-ish fence, and as I was sat atop, ready to jump down, three or four police came running from a little building we hadn't noticed before shouting at me and grabbing my mate Sam. I was faced with the choice of legging it onto the other side of the fence or gallantly going back to help my friend. I returned to Sam, and the quite pissed off police and my gallantry was rewarded as they advised me that I had been climbing into the zoo and would have landed in an animal enclosure.
Listen to the Luke and Pete Show wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
The Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Sube Henderson, tiró la pelota filtrada para Lucho. De Luisito. La. Fue Luisito. La. Toma pavo.
That was totally unexpected.
I know.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. That was some Colombian commentary off the back of Luis Diaz scoring a goal, if you couldn't already tell. Yeah.
It's timeless, that, isn't it? Truly timeless. Yeah. Someone shouting goal for ages.
But I thought that was going to be just all of it. And yeah. Then he starts singing.
Football D.
We need more of that. Singing, a thoroughly underrated element of football commentary, I'd say. Right, let's get to the update of our 4-to-score attempt. This week, Betway's 4-to-score is free to play. Each week, pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. We do it. We did it. We didn't win, you might be surprised to hear. Game one was Southampton against Everton. I went for Dominic Calvert-Lewin. There were no Evertonian goal scorers. The answer was Stuart Armstrong. We were out. However, we'd already picked them, so we ploughed on in our enthusiasm. Manchester City against Spurs. Andy picked Bernardo Silva. The result would have been very difficult to predict. I feel Dejan Kulusevski adding his first goal for Tottenham on his first start. Then it was game three, Leeds versus Manchester United. Pete, you went for Edinson Cavani. The result was Harry Maguire.
He didn't even play. That's twice I've been done like that. Oh, he managed to get to the...
You've been done,
He managed to get to the boxing, though, dressed like Inspector Gadget, dickhead. Unbelievable.
Game four, Wolves against Leicester City. Luke picked no goal scorer. He was worried about this in the moment because he thought we would be on for a full win and then he would have picked no goal scorer and that would have fucked everything up. I mean, that wasn't the case, but the answer was that Ruben Neves got the first goal. Both of the Wolves goals in that were bloody lovely. Very enjoyable game, that. We'll be back for another round of 4-to-score on the preview show this Friday. All right, time for an email.
If you've got something for us, show@footballramble.com.
Ooh, we got a message. from Andrew Eggleton on the topic of shaving Jim's head.
Oh, good. I'm glad people have bitten on that.
Not sure what will become of it, if anything, but I want to be part of the fun to convince Jim or anyone to shave his head. I have a wife and a three-year-old, so putting up money would be irresponsible. However, I do have a John Joe Shelby Swansea jersey I bought about 3 weeks before he left us. It's been worn by me. I generally wear it to jinx teams I don't like. As Big John has always regaled us with a shiny dome, I think it's fitting. P.S. Did I learn my lesson by buying player jerseys? Of course not. The other one I bought was Ollie McBurney. Within a month, he was gone. That one I feel bad about, like I had something to do with his trajectory.
Yeah, I mean, that's not quite enough for me to consider shaving my head yet. I guess we could all put it on a big pile.
Build ups or something?
Yeah.
Because you said you didn't have a number in mind, but that makes me feel it's got a number in mind.
Well, also, though, if we can get proof of the power of this Jinx shirt, that might actually be quite appealing.
Yeah, true.
So, yeah, I mean...
That has a lot of value. Yeah.
Going to keep the hair for now, but do keep them coming. So, James in sunny New Zealand has been in touch as well. He says, so this happened just now, fitting nicely into the regular perfect hat-trick, high comedy, only in New Zealand slot. Defender Michaela Moore scored a hat-trick of own goals in New Zealand's game against the US in the She Believes Cup. Has this ever happened anywhere ever? A hat-trick of own goals, including the required right foot, left foot and head.
Amazing.
Yeah, so the third one came in the 36th minute and she was subbed off 4 minutes later.
36 minutes of football.
Afternoon. I mean, it was 3-0 as well, wasn't it? So it's...
I don't think she is going to be believing after that, to be honest.
It has, of course, happened before.
Most things have happened before,
but not in a very long time. And it's been quite sweet. People have been like... I mean, obviously, a lot of people have been slagging off, but people have been offering support. I'm trying to remember. Is it Jonathan Walters? Someone scored 2 own goals against Chelsea.
Right.
And missed a penalty. Is that worse in some ways?
Yeah. I mean, it's much
Stoke
of a much
player.
At that
I'm pretty
point,
sure it was.
Jonathan Walters.
Yeah. I think so.
I haven't thought about him in a while.
Because the thing about that is like, you've then also tried to, you've really tried to make it right.
Yeah.
So yeah, bad luck, Michaela. But it probably was the right thing to do to sub you off. Show at footballramble.com. Email us or tweet us at footballramble. Also, guys, Pep Talks is on Wednesday, so do get in your mad crap for that. And we'll try and advise you, because that's so what we're suited to do. Okay, let's get down to the bottom of the table. Brighton were beaten 3-0 by Burnley. The magic of Burnley scoring 3 goals in a single game really cannot be overstated. They'd only scored 17 goals all in up until that day. And you really got the sense the commentary just couldn't, especially on Match of the Day, just couldn't believe how lucky they've been sent to do Brighton-Burnley. And then, bam, they got 3 great goals to commentate on, including Van Weghorst getting his first in the Premier League and Josh Brownhill getting his first in the Premier League as well. And a beauty from Aaron Lennon.
It had so much. I think this is the Weghorst effect. He reminds me of both kind of physically and in terms of his name of like a sort of late 80s, early 90s kind of European action hero. He's the Dolph Lundgren we had no idea the Premier League needed. It's great.
It's certainly what we thought we were buying in Chris Wood, I tell you what. Goodness. But he was all over the place. Robbing balls off players left, right and centre. But if I was a Brighton fan, if I was Jules Breach right now, Brownhill's goal was an effing disgrace. At no point did that player have control of that ball. And yet... he still managed to get it in the net.
So true.
Yeah. Terrible goal. Awful. Yeah.
You just thought he wouldn't... You thought he was more likely to fall over.
Or eat the ball. He looked like he was more likely to fall on it and swallow the ball.
He's vegan, Josh Brownhill, so I don't know. Is it
still leather? It's probably still plastic. It's probably plastic nowadays, isn't it? Yeah.
Probably fine then.
Probably it's more ethical to eat plastic.
Eat the ball,
get
Brownhill.
Well, look... caveats for Brighton in Brighton's favour. I mean, I guess Lewis Dunk was suspended and then Adam Webster was out with a groin injury.
Just a properly bad day at the office. They weren't very good, which contributed, obviously, as well as Burnley being good. Huge win for them, isn't it? Especially, again, it's a confidence booster, isn't it?
And it brings them off the bottom of the table
for the first time. They've got 2 games in hand over Watford and Newcastle as well. So
League's getting good, isn't it?
It is.
League's
exactly.
getting good.
Yeah, but,
maybe they should just never end. There should never be a winner. Would always be like this.
I mean, in some respects, it kind of is like that.
Football never stops. Lennon's beautiful goal. Yeah. Fantastic. Just kind of ghosted past a couple of players, then managed to get it right under it. Off the bar. Fantastic.
That was very beautiful. Enjoyable. At one point, Shane Duffy shoved Robert Sanchez in the chest after a collision between them when they were trying to deal with a ball in the box, which in some ways I think represents what was going on for them that day. Graham Porter says they're human beings and they both care a lot. They probably just didn't channel it in the best way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair enough. Aston Villa lost to Watford, guys. Watford get their first win under Roy the Boy, scoring their first goal under Roy Hodgson as well. And it was a pretty decent performance from Watford. Really enjoyed Emmanuel Dennis's performance and also Ismail Assar as well. Did extremely well in that one. Good
Dennis
to see him back.
Dennis is a very good player, isn't he? They've unearthed the gem there.
Mm, absolutely right. They couldn't. Ooh, Roy Hodgson couldn't have his final training session before the game because of Storm, one of the Storms, Eunice, maybe.
Well, they should repeat that every week then.
Yeah. Yeah. You can make the argument for that, can you?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I thought on the Aston Villa side, I thought Ings looked very isolated. Mm. Like the winds had blown all the players away from him.
Yeah,
it just
seems
looked very low, and they didn't use the width of the pitch properly. They looked very ordinary. They looked as bad as they did against Newcastle, I thought.
It seems a weird fit, actually, Ings and Villa, doesn't it? It doesn't seem to quite be gelling in the way that you thought it might. So I think clearly there's a very, very good player there that the system isn't quite suiting at the moment. So I wonder if they tweak that or they focus more on Watkins. I'd like to see Watkins and Ings play up front together, but I know that's just never going to happen just because it's
why
old school
and
it's
nice
fun.
Things?
I know, right?
If anyone's going to try it, a manager that's probably not as long in the tooth as Gerrard will probably try it, so you never know.
Yeah, I thought.
Can you play them together?
Can you play them together, though?
He doesn't want that again, does he?
No. Watford with some great moves throughout this, like great on the break, pressuring them. Given that Moussa Sissoko attempted to shoot when Dennis was free,
it's
absolutely extraordinary that they managed to get.
Yeah, if he's not stopped doing it now,
no,
you know it's never going to stop, is it? It's brilliant for me. It's an absolute highlight of the Premier League. Every time,
yeah, and then of course for the goal as well. What do you think of that? So Ismail Assar, I mean, with what was a brilliant assist, but when someone stops for that long, it makes me uncomfortable.
You can't just stop.
Yeah, I thought he'd run out of ideas, but yeah. I was completely wrong. He just stuck it on a dime for Dennis.
Yeah.
Brilliant achievement. Great for Watford to get the win in this exciting little fight we've got down the bottom. And Steven Gerrard, not looking very happy. 1 point in the last three games. But anyway, yeah, they keep losing to people that you would expect,
you expect them,
to
get something for.
Yes. Something we could also say, perhaps, is about Everton, who were beaten 2-0 by Southampton on Saturday afternoon. Mm-hmm. Now, Frank Lampard was asked after the game if he thinks his side are in a relegation battle. Now, again, the whole time we've said probably many of these teams that we've referenced today in the show aren't in a relegation battle because everyone down the bottom is so crap. Mm. With the exception of probably Norwich now. I don't know. It looks like there's life in, especially the two we talked about just there, Burnley and Watford.
Mm. When players like Armstrong are scoring, I guess you sort of go, he's not hardly a Harry Kane kind of figure.
That's quite disrespectful.
He's got goals in his locker. Not a huge amount of them, but you know.
Moderate amount of goals. But it's hard not to think that Southampton don't.
Small amount of goals. Billy Big Bananas over here now.
Billy Gilmore over there. You
know, I thought it was a lovely
got all
link
your
up.
Saudi
that.
Money.
We haven't got any goals.
We haven't got any goals either. But I think Southampton have definitely got Everton's number. But then there are a lot of clubs who have got Everton's number this season, haven't they? So it will be, once again, being very underwhelming.
Again, you look at the table, you think, who they got next? They've got Man City next. Everyone,
not helpful.
Everyone's got an awful fixture next all the time.
I'd be quite chilled about it.
I bet you would.
I think that was quite mean about that Stuart Armstrong goal.
Sorry,
Pete. It was nice, the little move with Che Adams. I thought it was exciting. And then first goal in 2 years for Shane Long, although I guess that does slightly support what you just said, which is annoying. The thing about Southampton, though, Jim, is are they not actually quietly building their performances into a really excellent season? Just now they're unbeaten in four. Those four, though, draws with Manchester City and Man United and that win against Tottenham. And then, of course, this defeat of Everton. I mean, I think they're starting to look like a really solid side.
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird one for Southampton, isn't it? Because they look like they will probably finish comfortably in mid-table. And that is probably the baseline of where you want to be to then start trying to push on for a European place. But they seem to really struggle to like maintain that, because obviously it's difficult to maintain that in the Premier League. Because I mean, they are like, they're 8 points off Wolves, who are in seventh. So you think that's probably going to be beyond them this season. But this, yeah, I mean, part of the problem they've had is that they've really struggled to arrest slumps, isn't it? Obviously, the 9-0s are anomalies, and
What can you make of those?
Yeah, but the problem is like they do have this habit under Hasenhüttl of just going on these bad runs where it takes them a while to arrest it, and any progress they make they then kind of undo. So, but I think you're right, they're quietly sort of going about it.
Off the European places, mate. They're nearly there.
I don't think
live it.
I don't think they're going
live the dream. Live the dream. Hey. What do you make of this, Pete? Lampard, Lamps and Ashley Cole didn't leave on the team bus.
Yeah, what's that about?
They drove off in their own
trouble
cars.
Trouble in paradise, eh?
at a time where you are in under cosh a little bit, and you're an untested manager. That's a bad look, I think.
Yeah.
Unless something comes out that he had something on. Yeah, gotta get to the boxing guys.
Some perfectly reasonable explanation, which there almost certainly
is. Yeah, there always is, isn't it? Yeah.
Gets really extreme bus sickness.
Yes, maybe. Exactly.
If you drive yourself, you don't get car sick, do you?
Maybe right. Okay.
Why
because
can he
you
drive
can't read
the bus?
A book. Drive the bus, Lamps. Come on. Do you want to? You want to stay in this league or don't you?
Didn't Jose Mourinho teach you anything? This weekend also, guys, I mean, this is a shoehorn, but I don't care.
Right.
Tony Hibbert has opened up on his decision to come out of retirement to play for a French 10th tier side.
Fantastic.
He explained he wanted a new experience and tranquility across the channel. And he also, I guess this is related, he owns a fishing pond over there.
So he'll be at the office head on like mercury. He's lost his mind.
I mean,
has Tony Hibbert got mercury poisoning? Email in.
Doesn't look too tranquil to me. Do you know what I mean?
I think it would look less.
I think down in the French leagues, the 10th tier French side, come on. That'd be a lovely little job, wouldn't it, if you're a Premier League football?
10th tier.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's like sort of size that we could play for, no?
No, we are nowhere.
They will still be in the French Cup, right?
Everyone's in the French Cup.
It's called Lousy, his team.
Lousy by name, Lousy by nature. Fantastic.
Do we read anything into that? Hey, I tell you where's not too tranquil right now is Jose Mourinho, his life. He got sent off again in Roma's draw with Verona. 2-2. He started shouting at the referee and pointing at his head. What would you...
his own head or the referee's head?
Good question.
Was it his head?
I imagined it was him.
His own head, yeah.
I thought that it was, I mean, I've added to this now in my own mind, but I imagine it was the kind of, you know,
Are you crazy? Yeah, you're mad.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay.
At this point, I think referees are probably like, oh, he's doing something weird. He'll be mind games. I'll just send him off. Just send him off. Shut up.
Well, he did then boot a ball at someone or two. Oh, no, Skyward, sorry, at God. The ref sent him off and he had to be restrained by his own goalkeeping coach. Tell me about this. Tell me about being restrained. I was thinking,
you've been to some clubs in your time.
Why are you both looking at me? I have experience of this.
What's your best restraints?
No, I just mean it's like
fluffy manacles.
Bullshit, isn't it? If someone's restrained, like if you're in a really fighty mood and someone of equal height and probably slightly less strength to you is trying to restrain you.
Yeah, but your goalkeeping coach is probably absolutely gigantic and Jose Mourinho is quite short, so he probably could pick him up and carry him around like a baby.
He's a ball of fury, though, isn't he? I don't know. I think if he wanted to, he could have got away. I think it was a performance, is what I'm saying, Pete. I'm undermining Jose Mourinho.
Okay, fine.
Now he's safely out of London.
Now he did that after he did that to you. Yeah. It's getting smaller and smaller, isn't it? The Jose cycle before it all gets toxic and mad. He'll be at Watford soon. He'll get himself into that. He'll circle the drain that much.
No.
He'll be like, 3 months? That sounds great. Yeah, I can do a job for 3 months.
You've got to wonder what he's bringing to sides these days. Good God.
Well, they have tried to counteract this, Roma, by hiring a former Serie A referee as an external consultant to help Mourinho's side deal with officiating and VAR protocol. And I think that sounds to me like Roma fundamentally misunderstand what Mourinho does.
I just don't think Italian football needs a story where a referee goes on the payroll of a club. It's just not what we need in 2022, is it?
Not a look.
afterwards, Jose posted on his Instagram, "I don't talk. It's better to go home and have a nice dinner. Have a good Sunday."
Oh, tell us about the dinner you're having, mate. Tell us what dinner you're having.
It's easy to say after you've caused a big ruckus, isn't it?
Yeah. That I'm going to... Well, you're not uncausing it, are you? Exactly. You can't take it back.
No.
You can't turn Scylla back into a nymph.
What
the hell did that come from?
Oh, I'm reading a book about...
nymphs.
About Greek.
Right.
About stuff. Greek.
Ancient Greek stuff. Anyway. Cool.
I really thought you meant Scylla Black.
You didn't even want me to... You didn't want me to talk about my weekend.
Scylla and Christmas. All right, tell me about your Greek. Fucking weekend. We're nearly getting out of here.
Went to West Ham Newcastle, sat next to some Jones, and that's it. We're going home.
Yeah, how was that? Were you aware of Chris Wood meowing at Kurt Zouma?
No, there's a lot of... I think West Ham fans are going to get very bored of the Kurt Zouma cat songs.
Yeah,
they were pretty constant.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that's... The consequences of our actions really are far-reaching, aren't they?
Exactly.
And that's what's going to keep happening.
Good match. Enjoyed it. I got the tickets through 5 minutes before I actually entered the stadium, which was needlessly stressful.
Yeah, that's... What happened there?
Well, I had to go through a ticket reseller and I had to prove where I lived... because they wouldn't sell them to people who were in the Newcastle area. And then I sat next to two German guys. I'm like, well, how did these guys get in?
Germans could live in London.
They could. Yeah. They could indeed.
You bigot.
Bigot? And a Geordie could live in Leon C. Yeah.
Quite true.
There you go.
Or a
man from Hartlepool.
What? Wait, so you're saying you feel like the ticket reseller completely just didn't trust you because you're from... the north.
That was the point. So I think the point with the London Stadium is you got to have a West Ham reference number to order tickets.
I'm with you. You were in the home end.
I was sat on my fingers in the home end. Yeah, I was
Pete
sat
Donaldson, that is dodge.
I do it all the time. I am an expert at subverting any misplaced shouts I may have.
Yeah.
Because I'll sort of go, you know, Newcastle whip in a corner and I think, you know, Woody's going to get his head on it and then I remember who he is and he doesn't. And I sort of go, ah! Like that. And I turn it into, ah, I need some chips! And I run off and go get some chips.
Yeah. But also, you famously look like everyone. So
exactly.
Everyone does recognise you at the stadium. And be like, is that...
Hooligan. I could be a great hooligan.
It's just any man.
Yeah.
So you were trying to pass as the only West Ham fan with a Newcastle accent.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Mm. Managed it.
I don't know. Is there a big West Ham?
Well, you get a lot of Southern Newcastle fans, so it might go both ways, right?
Mm.
I don't think it goes both ways. Craig Dawson reportedly complained to the referee about the meowing.
It's funny though, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, that is funny. Yeah. It's a funny situation.
Do you think, is that legit? I mean, can you complain about someone meowing at you?
Well, you clearly can't.
Right? So,
not really.
I don't know if you can, or maybe you can. I'm not sure. Depends what's being said.
And if you put it to a vote, I reckon the people who didn't kick the cat. Mind you, Newcastle fans punch horses, so I mean, what are you going to do? Yeah, terrible. Oh, well.
Whose side are we on in the great war of the animal kingdom? Exactly. We're on the right side, whichever it is you think it is, dear listeners.
Bears.
We're with the big guys. That's it from us. On tomorrow's show, it's Marcus, it's Pete, and it's Luke Moore. No relation to Michaela from New Zealand, we checked. Although...
He did play out there, so...
He did, yeah, and he's got a few own goals in his time as well. I'd like that on the record.
Taught her everything she knows.
Yeah.
Nice to see you, Pete Donaldson.
Ta-ta.
I'm glad you survived the home end of West Ham. Nice to see you, Jim.
Nice to see you, Kate.
All right, we'll catch you soon. Thanks for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.